This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. To abide is to stay for a very long time. And so one who abides is not a visitor or a tourist. In Jesus Christ, we are not visitors, since he himself calls us to abide in him.
Fifth Sunday of Easter.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Then Barnabas took charge of him and brought him to the apostles, and he reported to them how he had seen the Lord and that he had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. He moved about freely with them in Jerusalem and spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. He also spoke and debated with the Hellenists, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him on his way to Tarsus. The church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was at peace. It was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord, and with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. John. Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Now this is how we shall know that we belong to the truth, and reassure our hearts before him, in whatever our hearts condemn. For God is greater than our hearts, and knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God, and receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And his commandment is this: we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments remain in him, and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he gave us. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with this week's Sunday Liturgy Reflection, here is Father Enobong.
This Sunday, we are presented with the need to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ, who is the true vine. In the Gospel reading, Jesus tells us of the importance of abiding in him, so that we will be able to bear the desired fruit of our conversion. The life of a Christian should be built around the abiding presence of Jesus Christ. It is a life of communion with him. He is the true vine, and we are the branches. As branches, he says, we cannot bear fruit unless we abide in him, the true vine. In the first reading, we see Saul, a former persecutor of the way, seeking the company of the rest of the disciples. But they were afraid of accepting him because they did not believe he was a believer. It was unbelievable how such an ardent persecutor could change all of a sudden and wants to be one of the disciples. It was possible for Saul to change because of God's love for all. God, the vine dresser, saw he was not bearing fruit, pruned him to bear good fruit. After being pruned, he was now able to boldly and zealously use his gifts to preach in the name of Jesus. It was not easy to win the confidence of the disciples on the part of Saul, but thanks to Barnabas, who took him and brought him to the apostles. There are many out there in need of an encounter with the Lord Jesus. Some do not know how to go about it. We believers should be able to be accommodating and helpful to those who are finding their way back to the faith without being judgmental of their past. Like Saul, there are many who are seeking God in sincerity of heart. If they are not welcomed to the faith communities where they get to learn more about love and fellowship with the Lord, they may drift further away from the source of life, Jesus Christ. God is not interested in the condemnation of anyone. His free gift is salvation in Jesus Christ. If an ardent persecutor like Saul could be converted into a zealous preacher in the name of Jesus, then there is no one that is beyond God's redeeming power. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Father Enobong Udaidyong and Father Hilary Munyaneza contributed to the program. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. Do stay tuned in for our bulletin of church news and later the world around us, all about our environment.
I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis on Saturday met with participants in an event for grandparents and grandchildren promoted by Italy's The Great Age Foundation. In his address in the Paul VI Hall, the Holy Father said intergenerational love has the power to transform society and impart wisdom. Devin Watkins reports.
The Great Age Foundation held an event on Saturday in the Paul VI Hall entitled The Caress and the Smile, which brought together over 6,000 grandparents and grandchildren. Speaking to participants, Pope Francis highlighted the importance of young people and the elderly spending time together, saying their shared love makes the world better, richer, and wiser. He recalled the first lesson his own grandmother taught him about Jesus, which was that we must never exclude others or humiliate them. It is only by being together with love, not excluding anyone, that we become better, more human, he said. The Pope said love between the elderly and the young makes our societies richer, so that everyone thinks more about others.
Se armonizzate, possono rivelare come le facce di un grande diamante.
Different generations, if harmonized, he said, can reveal the wonderful splendor of humanity and creation, like the facets of a great diamond. Pope Francis urged everyone not to heed voices that call for us to think for ourselves or go it alone. Such an attitude, he said, leads to loneliness and a throwaway culture in which the elderly are left alone to spend their last years away from their loved ones. The Pope recalled that love shared between generations makes us wiser, like the elderly Simeon and Anna, who were the only people who recognized Jesus as the Son of God when his parents brought him to the temple.
Ascoltate i nonni.
Listen to grandparents, he said, especially when they teach you with their love to cultivate the most important relationships that fill our lives. Grandparents, added the Pope, can also teach younger generations about the horrors of war and the importance of seeking peace. When you elderly and young are together, when you take care of each other, concluded Pope Francis, your love is a breath of fresh air that refreshes the world and society and makes us all stronger beyond family ties. I'm Devin Watkins.
In a post on X, formerly Twitter, after the event, the Pope said when grandparents and grandchildren and when the elderly and young spend time together, taking care of each other, their love is a breath of fresh air that refreshes our world and society. It makes us all stronger beyond family ties, the Pope tweeted. Also on Saturday, Pope Francis received in audience members of the community of the Seminary of Burgos in Spain. In his address, he urged them to fill Spain's depopulated rural areas with God by freeing themselves from what he referred to as false human securities. The Holy See Press Office on Friday confirmed that Pope Francis will take part in the upcoming G7 summit in Italy's southern Puglia region in the session devoted to artificial intelligence. The confirmation of the Holy Father's participation in the summit of the Group of Seven Industrialized Nations followed an announcement made earlier in the day by Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. She said the Pope had accepted her invitation to attend the summit, which will take place from the 13th to the 15th of June at Borgo Egnazia in Puglia. Pope Francis dedicated his message for the 57th World Day of Peace on the 1st of January 2024 to artificial intelligence and peace. In it, he urged humanity to cultivate wisdom of the heart, which he says can help us put systems of artificial intelligence at the service of a fully human communication. Meanwhile, in the Vatican this week, Cisco, the multinational digital communications technology company, signed the Rome Call for AI Ethics, a document by the Pontifical Academy for Life, committing to an ethical approach to artificial intelligence in the areas of ethics, education, and rights. Pope Francis will undertake a day-long visit to Venice, Italy, on Sunday, the 28th of April. Thaddeus Jones has this preview.
Leaving for Venice at 6:30 on Sunday morning, the Pope's helicopter is scheduled to land inside the Giudecca Women's Prison Facility, which houses some 80 inmates he's chosen to greet upon his arrival. And as the Patriarch of Venice, Archbishop Francesco Modaglia, has noted, the Holy Father's meeting with women who are suffering is characteristic of his style and sets the tone for a visit undertaken in the spirit of mercy. The Giudecca prison, he said, is a place of expiation and rebirth, but also a place of art, as it hosts the Holy See's pavilion at the Contemporary Art Biennale, dedicated this year to our globalized world under the theme Foreigners Everywhere. After greeting the women of the detention facility, the Pope will address a group of artists in the prison's chapel and view the Holy See's pavilion for the 60th International Art Exhibition, the Venice Biennale. The pavilion bears the title With My Own Eyes and is dedicated to the theme of human rights and people living on the margins of society. It seeks to draw the world's attention to the millions of men and women who live at the margins of society while fostering a culture of encounter. The Pope will then embark on a patrol boat and travel from the Giudecca Island to the Basilica of St. Mary of Good Health, where he'll meet with young people from the dioceses of Venice and the larger Veneto region. Then, after crossing a bridge to enter St. Mark's Square, where he'll be welcomed by a delegation of authorities, the Holy Father will preside over Mass in the Monumental Square and pray the Regina Caeli. Afterwards, he'll enter the Basilica of St. Mark to venerate the relics of the saint, after which he'll board a patrol boat that takes him to the island of St. Elena, from which he boards a helicopter that's expected to land in the Vatican around 2:30 p.m. on Sunday. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
This Saturday, the 27th of April, marks the 10th anniversary of the canonization of Pope John XXIII and Pope John Paul II. The two popes were elevated to sainthood by Pope Francis on this day 10 years ago during Mass in St. Peter's Square. On Saturday afternoon, Cardinal Giovanni Battista Re, the Dean of the College of Cardinals, presided at Mass in St. Peter's Basilica to mark the anniversary. Cardinal Fridolin Ambongo Besungu, the president of the Grouping of All the Bishops' Conferences of Africa and its adjacent islands, SECAM, has said that the just-ended workshop for African delegates to this October's second session of the Synod on Synodality was a success, as it gave participants a platform to share their experiences. He said the encounter proved to be, quote, another important moment of grace, a true kairos for the Church in Africa to affirm its commitment to work together as a united Church, a family of God in Africa, in the service of announcing the gospel for the better future of the African continent. The Cardinal said this on Friday during a press conference in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, marking the end of the preparatory workshop organized by SECAM in collaboration with the African Synodality Initiative. Cardinal Ambongo said the meeting served as a platform for the African delegates to share their experiences and explore the question, how can we become a synodal church in mission from an African perspective, taking into account our unique context, situations, and circumstances. He noted that during the discussions on how to strengthen the continent's synodal mission, there was consensus among delegates that Africa must embrace the experience of small Christian communities and the rich philosophical principles of Ubuntu. He added that the reality of small Christian communities and the principle of Ubuntu highlight the values of family, fraternity, and solidarity. The Cardinal, who is also the Archbishop of Kinshasa in the Democratic Republic of Congo, recalled how he stressed in his opening address on Wednesday the importance of not only adhering to technical and procedural standards, but also, and above all, recognizing the value and the unique African experiences of synodality in mission, which he said have contributed significantly to the growth and development of the Church in Africa. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Events were held across South Africa on Saturday, the 27th of April, to celebrate Freedom Day, which recalls the country's first democratic election in 1994 that marked the end of apartheid. Saturday is the 30th anniversary of that historic vote, the first all-race election that saw the previously banned African National Congress ANC party win overwhelmingly and made its leader, Nelson Mandela, the country's first black president. Mr. Mandela was elected president 4 years after he was released from prison. The West African nations of Togo and Sierra Leone are also marking their Independence Day this Saturday, the 27th of April. Togo gained its independence from France in 1960, while Sierra Leone gained its independence from Britain in 1961. Staying in Sierra Leone, President Julius Maada Bio has taken over the Ministry of Energy, placing it directly under his office following a dramatic sequence of events which included the resignation on Friday morning of the substantive minister, Kanja Cissé. Mr. Cissé resigned following a prolonged electricity crisis. Shortly after his resignation, the Ministry of Finance released a public statement saying that the government had started paying its arrears to electricity suppliers, Car Powership of Turkey, and the West African Power Pool in Ivory Coast, which had cut off power to the country because of non-payment by the government. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Hello and welcome to the World Around Us, news about our environment. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis, in a post on X, formerly Twitter, to mark World Earth Day on the 22nd of April, said we are all called to become artisans and caretakers of our common home, the Earth, which he said is falling into ruin. World Earth Day is observed every year to promote environmental sustainability and awareness. Lisa Zengarini reports.
In his post on X, Pope Francis noted that our industrial and consumerist societies in which the present generation has thrived have done little to protect the planet, remarking the close connection between the current environmental crisis and the conflicts raging throughout the world. Our generation has bequeathed many riches, but we have failed to protect the planet, and we are not safeguarding peace, he said. Hence his urgent call to become artisans and caretakers of our common home, the Earth, which the Pope noted is falling into ruin. Each year, Earth Day has a specific theme to draw global attention on pressing environmental issues. Under the banner Planet versus Plastics, this 54th edition is focused on plastic pollution and on the urgent need to reduce its use and production. Beyond its environmental implications, the proliferation of plastics poses a significant threat to human health, akin to the challenges posed by climate change. As plastics degrade into microplastics, they release toxic chemicals into ecosystems, contaminating food and water sources. This year's campaign therefore prioritizes spreading awareness about the detrimental effects of plastic on human and environmental health. The immediate aim of the campaign is to swiftly eliminate single-use plastics by 2030 and to embed the commitment within the United Nations Treaty on Plastic Pollution by 2024. In the long term, the campaign aims to obtain a 60% reduction in plastic production by 2040. To this end, the campaign also emphasizes the importance of investing in innovative technologies and materials to pave the way for a plastic-free world. I am Lisa Zengarini.
As you heard in that report, Planet versus Plastics was the official theme of this year's observance. Staying with that theme of plastics, the fourth session of the Intergovernmental Negotiating Committee on Plastic Pollution, including in the maritime environment known as INC4, continued in Ottawa, Canada on Saturday. The session, which began on Tuesday and scheduled to end on Monday, the 29th of April, aims to advance negotiations so that the committee can finalize at its fifth session in November this year the text of the instrument to curb plastic pollution. Let us listen to some of what Inga Anderson, Executive Director of the UN Environment Programme, said at the opening press conference of the session, attended by negotiators from over 170 countries.
So 2 years ago, the United Nations Environment Assembly greenlit these negotiations, and they are now underway to arrive at an internationally binding legal agreement or instrument on plastic pollution, including in the marine environment, that deals with the full life cycle of plastics. And when we say full life cycle, it means eliminating that which is unnecessary, and often that would be that which is short-lived and single-use, and rolling out in many jurisdictions refill, reuse models where national authorities consider that that's appropriate, and producing a lot less plastic as best we can so that we can limit that going into the environment. And that means that we also need to, if we're going to move into circularity, which we do want to, then we need to know what kind of chemicals are going into that, which will be circular in nature, because we're going to be using it for, obviously, food and other items. So moving on the reuse, as well as recycle, as well as reduce, is critical. We've seen progress in the first three rounds of negotiations, and that has been critical. There's a text before the negotiators right now, and INC4, this very meeting under the very able chair, will be the place where we hope to see real forward movement on the draft that is before us, as well as the intersessional work. It's critical because we are set to meet for the last and final time at INC5 in Busan. And the more progress we make here, the more likely we are that we will have an agreement that will meet everyone's concerns so that we can protect human and ecosystem health while ensuring that there is a just transition and space for the private sector to really step in and step up on innovation and to thrive in new markets. And that's why I have asked all the negotiators to show that commitment, to show that collaboration and ambition in the coming week so that we can advance the text and deliver on a deal that beats plastic pollution once and for all. Thank you.
Inga Andersen, the Executive Director of the UN Environment Programme. And that's all for this edition of The World Around Us, News About Our Environment. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature family. I am Festus Tarawali, and do join us then. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.